Welcome to a Monday morning in the great city of Atlanta. My name is Steak. That's Drew Butler. We get 2 hours, and that's what we get. We roll in, we do our time, and we do it with a big smile on our face. We get our time, I should say, not do our time. Not like the, what are they, the Chrissies? They got out,
did the Chrisleys.
The Chrisleys.
I used to love that show.
That was a phenomenon for a while.
Home Free.
Yeah.
Todd Chrisley and
Julie. Is it Todd?
Julie
and
Todd, Chrisley? Yeah.
Yeah. They did their time. We get our time.
Correct.
Here for 2 hours. So thanks for being with us on a beautiful Monday morning in the great city of Atlanta. The mild temperatures continue. I hope everybody had a great weekend. It is kind of a sleepy time in between Memorial Day and kind of the kick-in of, like, the long, hot summer that is the summer in Georgia.
Yeah, school's out. Swim team practice is kicking off now. It goes to the mornings this week. That's a big one. And
kiddos getting their first jobs, working at pools, yep, and working at, you know, country clubs or local pools at the Y, or, you know, off to summer camp probably in a couple of weeks or so.
For sure.
So a little less traffic on the roads, you notice
big
that?
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time coming in this morning.
Yeah, post-Memorial Day, it's just, this is a quieter stretch.
And no more rain. It was brutal last week, and even over the weekend.
It's like a 10-day stretch of every day we would get torrentials of some kind, right?
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday were great today, and for the rest of the week, supposed to be awesome. I mean, typical summer, a little humid, a little hot, but that's what you want.
So how was your weekend, you and Miss Jackie?
Wow, we had a blast. Happy birthday to my wife. So she celebrated
today?
Her birthday on Friday. She celebrated, and we celebrated Friday,
yep,
Saturday, Sunday. Thursday as well.
So she's one of those. I mean, most women, especially when they're a little younger,
yeah,
birthdays
but she,
are a big deal.
She loves birthdays. Everybody who knows and loves her certainly knows that. And we celebrated accordingly. We had an absolute blast. She deserves it. So Friday, we went to the Chastain for brunch with the kids.
Yeah, I saw that burger. Nice.
We brought the kids to brunch, which was awesome. And we sat next to some Atlanta royalty.
Yeah, who is that?
Pookie and Jet were in the house.
First came to our attention on
the first
our
couple
show.
Of Atlanta.
Yeah. Did you mention that you worked? We worked together?
I did. I went up and talked to Jet as we were leaving, and he introduced me to his wife, Campbell. I met their daughter as well. Super nice guy. Huge Dogs fan, so go Dogs. And
yeah, those
obviously,
aren't familiar.
I said I work with Steak and Rusty.
Yeah.
I wanted to pass him my bill, but I just took care of that.
They're two influencers that have been on the show before, those who aren't familiar. Okay, so that was a Friday.
Yes, and then Friday night we went to a great little spot for dinner, 141 up in Johns Creek. Shout out to Sean, who's the general manager up there. And then my buddy's in town, and Jackie, unbeknownst to me, is like, hey, let's go to Himitsu.
That's a fancy place in Buckhead. That's a like a nightclub. That's
yeah, a like a nightclub, speakeasy type vibe. So Jackie turned into a Buckhead Betty over the weekend.
Yeah,
I had to keep up with her. We had a blast. And then Saturday we turned around and had a celebration for her with all of our friends at your third spot, which is right by your offices at Bread and Butter Content Studio in the Works in Westside. And I love that spot. It's awesome. The customer service is elite.
Those who are familiar, it's like a Dave & Buster's on absolute steroids for adults. So high-end food, great cocktails. I mean, we played adult beer pong. Have you seen that with the big barrels?
The big trash cans.
And the rubber balls that you throw in there. But they have every possible game, and it's all electronically scored from cornhole to
Battleship, to all of your
great bowling lanes. I mean, it is an
darts,
absolute.
Yeah.
The guy that built that is a friend of mine, moved down here. And those of you who haven't been to your third spot, and we need to sit here and be like, look at all these, you know, bougie spots, because that's not what we're saying. You and your
awesome
friends, great, like, crowd of Atlanta, like West Side folks, South of City folks, Buckhead people, people coming in. Every big corporate event, I mean, Home Depot does 500 people there, and Delta, and you mean they all do their big corporate functions there. It's an awesome spot. It's
very unique. Totally recommend it. And on the weekends, during the day, kids are allowed. So everybody brought their kids. You know, Saturday was the first nice weather day in a while, so it was all opened up and people were outside, so that was an absolute blast. We had a bunch of fun over the weekend.
Yeah, we had a fun birthday weekend. My daughter turned 18 years old.
Happy birthday, Nola.
Yeah, beautiful Nola. So it was a daddy-daughter morning. Mommy was sleeping or getting things organized. We got up early. We walked Chastain Park.
Perfect.
Went to her favorite coffee place, Companions, had breakfast together, and then the greatest thing happened. The greatest thing happened on my daughter's birthday. My daughter, my mom, her grandmother, her mom, and her aunt all went shopping for 5 or 6 hours, and Stakey had absolutely no plans.
Good for you.
Went and played pickleball over at Hammond. I think I, was in the backyard working on sunning myself or something.
Nice.
Streaming some shows. Watched the Braves. And the Braves came on at 4:15 on Saturday. So I was watching Braves and Red Sox. It was perfect. I was like, hey, we're going to be a little longer in the shopping. We may not get home till 6.
Take your time.
It's like, wow, man. You guys are okay. I mean, really? Not till 6? Oh, gosh darn it. So I was just like, not that I don't love my beautiful family, but the alone time is a nice thing. And then we went to dinner at Bar Blanc, which is the steak frites place that's over on the west side.
Above Little Sparrow.
Yeah. So it's, if those of you don't know what steak frites is, basically just there's nothing on the menu. You just say medium, medium rare, medium well, or whatever, and they bring you steak, fries, salad, and great, delicious, crusty, warm bread. There's some value. $45, you're all in, right? You're getting everything. The fries are ridiculous, decadent as hell. It's one of four fried restaurants. So we did that and celebrated my daughter's 18th. And my other daughter's off to, drove her to the airport on Friday. And Bobby's birthday is tomorrow. So it is the season. I was looking at Reggie Miller replica jerseys, because all of a sudden, talk about the ultimate bandwagon jumper. He is he keeps calling Halliburton Reggie 2. Reggie, you don't bet against Reggie 2. You don't bet against Reggie 2. And I was like, I do like the 90s references, or that the fact this generation does know a lot. Like, we're driving. It might have been the most emotional moment when he turned to me and he goes, Daddy, I want to give you my top 10 NBA players all time. I mean, out of the blue, we're driving. I said, what? He goes, I want to give you my top 10 NBA players all time. Do you want to hear it? I was like, do I want to hear it? Do I want to breathe fresh air in the morning?
You hit record on your iPhone voice memo.
I mean, I was like, what did I do to 4 years ago, like, this kid wouldn't have known, Larry Bird from Larry Costello. But anyway. So just their knowledge of that generation is significant. So I'm looking at Reggie Miller replica jerseys, and I decided unless I want to get a third job, I probably can't afford that. We went up on the Reggie Miller jerseys are hot, so we're probably going to a Tyrese Halliburton jersey,
okay,
something along those lines. He's all over the Pacers now. He's decided.
Wow, there you go.
So we got a pretty good NBA Finals, I think. I don't know how the network's going to feel about it. What is it on ESPN?
Thursday. It starts Pacers, Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yes, somebody will win their first title ever. Let me ask you this question. Do you consider Seattle Supersonics winning a title to be that Oklahoma City has actually won a title?
No, not at all.
I know, right?
Not at
all. But you do hear people say that, right?
I do.
Well, they did win one in Seattle. What?
Yeah.
What, in the 60s with Lenny Wilkins? By the way, do you even know what team that was?
No, I have no idea. That was in the 60s? Was that even the ABA or the NBA?
It was the 70s. So
that's pre-merger for sure.
With the ABA?
Yeah.
I got to look at who was on that team. I think it was downtown Freddie Brown and I don't know. Golden State won one back there with Al Attles as their coach. I forget who Seattle's coach was, but they won one back in the day. Anyway, let's do the rest of what happened over the weekend on 9 at 9. I'll just say this, what I'm most unhappy with the Braves, or what is just troubling. 2 weekends ago, Padres came in on one of their worst streaks in baseball, and they took 2 out of 3. I said on Thursday, the Red Sox are in an absolute free fall. They've lost 5 in a row. They're talking about, flipping that whole roster or whatever. I just don't like when you get teams reeling coming in here. Arizona's in the same spot.
Same exact spot.
They had lost 9 out of 10 until winning yesterday. The bottom line is you go, these teams are flailing, and now they're coming in here. We're going to take care of business. That's not what's been happening, man. They've been getting right at Truist Park.
Yeah, Braves are your get-right team. If you're not playing well, go play the Braves. Things will start to look up. For your organization, the Braves dropped 2 out of 3 over the weekend to the Boston Red Sox. Friday night, they lose 5-1. Saturday, they turn around. Spencer Schwellenbach pitches a gem. They win 5-0. Yesterday, they lose 3-1. So, stake two losses for the Braves over the weekend with a combined two runs in those losses.
Yeah, it's just a little bit listless. I mean, that's what it is, Bo. I mean, yesterday, that game moved fast, right? How early were you out of there yesterday?
2 hours, 15 minutes was the game time yesterday, but I was not even there. I was at a
softball tournament?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, so that was an all-time. That felt like a Greg Maddux game. I was sitting by the pool. I had the game on. And I look up. It's like the bottom of the sixth inning, and the Braves had nothing going virtually, you know, most of the
day. Nothing going. Nothing going. It's just like listless is a perfect word for it.
Yeah, and this is what I've been, you know, kind of talking about, and we'll talk about it later on. Can you handle an ordinary season? Because it's an ordinary baseball team having an ordinary season. We talked last week, only three teams in the National League that had less wins than the Braves, and that streak continues. Arizona's in tomorrow for three. You'd think with Spencer Strider, Chris Sale, and Grant Holmes, you'll be in decent shape.
But yeah, you'd hope so. Tomorrow is game one of that three-game series, 7:15 p.m. first pitch. Zach Gallen on the mound for the Diamondbacks against Spencer Strider for the Browns, so you have an elite pitching matchup to kick things off. You guys talk about how fast the Braves game was yesterday. What's not fast are college baseball games, although they are a little bit more fun to watch.
Well, it wasn't fun if you're a Georgia or Georgia Tech fan. Both schools are out. We'll start with Georgia, who was feeling themselves yesterday for much of the day against Oklahoma State. And then the Cowboys score four runs in the bottom of the ninth. Oklahoma State was the home team.
Correct.
At Foley Field. That season ends on a two-run homer. Georgia absolutely stunned on the field. Their season ends.
Totally stunned. Unexpected as well. They were up 9-7 heading into the night. They lose 11-9. Their season is over. And here in Atlanta, Ole Miss knocks off Georgia Tech. That game was not in Atlanta. I'm talking about Georgia Tech being in Atlanta. Ole Miss 11, Georgia Tech 9. Danny Hall's storied career at Georgia Tech over.
Yeah, it was a tough way to end it. Bases loaded, two outs in the ninth inning, and they can't get it across.
Scottie Scheffler won the Memorial Tournament yesterday. It's his third win in the last four starts. His 16th overall victory. People, you're witnessing one of the best runs in golf in the last 40 years.
Yeah, it's a Tiger-esque run, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's simply unbelievable what he's doing right now to the competition.
Everybody's
U.S. Open is next weekend at Oakmont in Pittsburgh.
Everybody's really good on the tour, aren't they? People who golf, aren't they really good?
I believe so.
So how can you be that much better than the best in the world?
He just doesn't make mistakes. He does not make mistakes.
I mean, these are the greatest in the world, and they are literally getting run by him every weekend.
Yeah, he won by four shots yesterday over Ben Griffin. He wins the Memorial Tournament for the second straight year.
Hey, when we come back, rumor over the weekend that we may be saying goodbye to our tight end. Are you okay with it? And I'm going to give Falcon fans the best way to spend their football season. Drew Butler's here. My name is Steak. This is the Steakhouse Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Let me just mention a couple of things. First of all, 9 o'clock, I'll watch you by Wise Guys Pro Wash. Like, Sandy will tell you they're the best for anything you need at the house, right? What are they best at?
Driveways, curbs.
Yeah.
The walls. Backyards. You get that nasty moldy
pressure
stuff
washing.
On your...
Yeah, pressure washing. So, that's number one. Number two, the Odyssey app. Now, my mom's in town. She may be listening on terrestrial radio, but you can always get the app. And thanks to all the folks, an unbelievable surge. Like the opposite of what's been going on with the Braves is what's happening with the radio station. Sorry. Let's just say we're on a heater, the entire radio station. Congratulations to Mike Conley and company. A lot of that comes from the Odyssey app. So get the app. Listen to the app. I was talking to my sister-in-law yesterday. She was over at the house sitting by the pool. She was talking about the Odyssey app.
It's a great app. It's a great app.
So make sure you have that and that you got the radio station with you all the time. I didn't mention also, I woke up yesterday early after kind of a aggressive Saturday night. You know, we were with my daughter on her 18th birthday, and we were just bouncing around town a little bit. And I played pickleball for 2 hours.
Two hours
with Abe Gordon.
Oh, did you really?
2 hours, yep.
Can Abe dink it around a little bit?
Abe doesn't dink, man. He just hits the hell out of the ball.
Really?
Like, for real. Abe, myself.
What is his lateral agility like?
Well, you know, he's a big runner.
I know, but that's in a straight line.
I would say he impressed me.
Okay.
Two hours. And I would say, you know, you mix it up when you're playing pickle. Like, you two play two out of three, then the next guys. And you do a rotation, and, like, you got to win this series. And I'll say that Abe was better than I thought and very solid.
Okay, I've got a content idea for the summer here at the radio station. Yep. Who's the best athlete at the station?
Oh, you know, so it'd be like an Olympic of sorts,
sure.
Right? How far can you hit a golf ball?
Sure.
A little pickle.
Can you throw
tennis.
A football? Can you shoot a basketball? Can you serve a tennis ball? Can you swim?
I like that. So, yeah.
All encompassing.
So
the other
place I used to work, it was a runaway, right? There was one guy, a 6'7" former NFL wide receiver.
I think I know who that guy is.
That was friggin' good at everything. I mean, like, because he was a basketball player.
Yeah.
That could have played college hoops at Navy, if you don't know Brian Finn, when I used to work with. So Finn could play. He got a scholarship to play in Navy with his identical twin brother. And then he ends up playing football at Villanova. And then he hits, like, I've seen him do enough. And then he went to, like, Braves fantasy camp and crushed it there. So this stage would be a little bit different. I'd say you would have a distinct advantage. I'm trying to think. Oh, Randy McMichael.
Randy would be up there.
See, I don't know
sure.
the other sports that Randy, you know. Maybe you throw that out there, but we say who. Ask those guys later on. Like, who can play a little
maybe
bit
maybe Randy
of
just punches me square in the face at first and
do
says,
do you have
keep
any
going.
Basketball,
yeah.
pickle, or tennis? You do.
I can shoot basketball. Yeah, I can play basketball.
Yeah, okay. So
I can volley in tennis. I could probably get a couple. If I'm serving gently, like intentionally, yes. In pickleball, yes.
So you can,
I just would rather not play it.
Well, because
I don't want to get hurt.
But dude, I mean, that was just a freak thing. Guy blew out his Achilles. If you want to talk about a sport where guys are blowing out their Achilles, it's basketball.
Oh, man.
I mean, basketball is so much worse than pickle.
Yes.
Guys sprinting that aren't used to sprinting, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's amazing once you get over 50. The difference. I used to hear people be like, oh, dude, it's that hard surface, man. It's bad for my – I was like, hard surface, clay surface, running outside versus running on treadmill. I used to think it was all nonsense. And then you get north of 50, and the difference of playing on clay or playing on a hard court or just even yesterday, pickle. Of course, my mother's at the house. Why are you walking like that? Why are you walking?
You're
I
like,
said,
I'm
Mom,
hurt.
We played 2 hours of pickle. Yeah, I got a plantar fasciitis. I got a lower back. I actually wake up. I never thought this happened in my life. I have to – I'm like the Tin Man. I need 20 to 30 minutes every morning of stretching, right?
Yeah.
And I can promise you this is not a guy that ever said, I need a good stretch in the morning. But it's almost like you get to a point.
Well, pliability is one of the biggest things. I mean, that's what Tom Brady always talked about later on in his career. And for all the times that you and I talk about, you know, the quote-unquote CEO routine, get up early, journal, cold tub, sauna, blah, blah, blah. If you just stretch,
right,
it will do you wonders.
That's becoming,
stretch before you go to bed, stretch when you wake up. And I don't do that well enough compared to when I played football. All I did was stretch.
But you're in your mid-30s.
Yes.
I don't think you need, like, it's interesting you say that because I think now that's the hot one now is stretching. It's
viability,
like,
yeah.
It was the whole, you know, not that cold plunge and journal and meditation, yoga. I mean, they're all Pilates. But now you're just hearing, dude, just stretch.
Yeah.
Right?
Especially take 5-10 minutes and just stretch.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I got this little band here and try to, you know, when you have lower back or anything else. Anyway, I don't ramble on about that because it's not that interesting. But that is something we should kick around and see what else Randy Michael can play. I know what he can play, tight end, better than Kyle Pitts played tight end. And that's a testament to Randy. And it's also saying that Kyle Pitts should be better. Rumor over the weekend, I think it was Turtle that put it out there. There's a rumor that Kyle Pitts to the Eagles for a third-round pick.
Yeah, the USA Today also posted about it on X as well. And it seems like this is a rumor that definitely picked up some steam. So I don't know if it was just social media fodder or if there are some conversations going around. But if you go to ESPN.com at the moment, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Miami Dolphins are in trade talks for Jonnu Smith. So tight ends are active in the market, and for a guy like Kyle Pitts, who's been embattled during his tenure in Atlanta, the highest ever drafted tight end in NFL history, would you let him go for something in return, a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick? Would you do that? The immediate question is, who would be the Falcons' tight end in 2025?
Yeah, you were looking at the depth chart, and you say we got a lot of tight ends, but it's almost like saying when you have two or three quarterbacks, you don't have any. You're like, there are four guys that could start, which means we don't have one guy that can start.
Charlie Warner, Felipe Franks, Teagan Quatoriano, who was with the Houston Texans last year, good red zone threat. I mean,
that's
if you went deep in fantasy, you might know who Quatoriano is.
Dude, that's not.
No.
There's not a name on there that can start.
Okay, so if you offload Kyle Pitts, you pick up a draft pick in 2026.
So it can't be.
Would you make a move then to then acquire another tight end, or would you stick with a guy like Charlie Warner and make him tight end one?
You probably have to acquire. You have to figure something out there. Here's what I would say, too. Is it the Steelers, you said?
Yeah, Steelers and the Dolphins are talking about Jonnu Smith.
I don't think they're going to feel good about giving up a third-round pick for Kyle Pitts. Now, I don't think we're going to feel good about getting a fourth-round pick.
Right.
So that would be the stalemate. Here's what I would say about Kyle Pitts. I know he's not going to have a great year. I know it. Here's why I know it. Because if you're running the offense, you just have too many other weapons. And if you're running plays, you're certainly going to run everything through Drake London.
Yes.
Then you have really good combo in Ray-Ray McCloud.
Darnell Mooney. Right.
And then you have Bijan and Tyler Algiers.
Right.
So forget about it. And this isn't even me taking – like, I know that I'm going to get maximum effort from Darnell Mooney and Drake London and that Ray-Ray has a history of making big catches. So, like – our offense is not all of a sudden going to say we got to feature more Kyle Pitts. Not when you have five,
perimeter playmakers.
Darnell Mooney, Bijan, Tyler, and Drake are all better options right there. So it's not like even if he had this spectacular offseason and came in with a new mindset, you're still not going to. And by the way, he doesn't get open enough. Like it's not like. It's not because of his quarter. He doesn't get open enough, and he doesn't run, as you see, gives up on too much. And even if he didn't do that, you got four other guys. So what do you think you're going to get, an 80-catch, 10-touchdown year? Of course not.
That's my biggest question to Falcons fans who are holding out hope for Kyle Pitts to turn into what we all expected when the Falcons drafted him fourth overall. Fourth overall.
I mean that.
So after the first 4 years of his career, what makes you think in his fifth year for the Atlanta Falcons, he can just explode onto the scene? Now, you hear Michael Penix Jr. talking about Pitts is my dog. Man, he works so hard. We vibe together. We talk. I mean, what else would you expect the guy to say?
Listen.
They're boys. Of course they are. They're teammates. Yes, he likes him. I'm sure Kyle Pitts is a great guy.
We probably have to get over the highest tight end. Just forget about that. Does he help us? As a key, here's the word, as a key component in a playoff team. Is he a key component? Forget about him living up to that fourth pick. That's never going to happen. So then you say, can he be a key piece? Now, Drake London is going to be, and Bijan is going to be, and I'd argue Darnell Mooney is going to be a key piece. And
let me tell you
what you want to be is maybe the third best option or the fourth best option.
Let me tell you why. Darnell, Drake, and Bijan are key pieces because they are consistent. You can depend on them week in and week out. You know what they're going to be able to provide for your offensive production. Kyle Pitts has been anything but that.
Right.
He is the absolute definition of inconsistency. And in the NFL, if you want to be a playmaker, if you want to be dependable, you don't have to have an A-plus game, then the next week a D-minus game, and then the week after that a C game, then the week after that a B-plus game. You got to be B-plus every single week.
Yeah, zero catch or zero targeted games. He has games where he's got two targets and no catches. Like, you're just... That's not going to be the guy we run our offense
to. Bruce Arians, head coach of the Arizona Cardinals when I was there. The best ability is dependability.
Yeah. Well, that's not what Kyle Pitts is. So, again, fourth rounder would make me a little sick. Third rounder probably too high. I don't think Kyle Pitts is going anywhere. We'll come back. Lots more on the way. Why is Georgia baseball the most hated team on the internet? I didn't see this coming, but it's there. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro and Drew Butler. Thanks so much for being with us. We got a lot to get to in the tailgate in about 5 minutes. I'm going to say yesterday was a really, really bad day for Georgia Tech. And we'll tell you a couple of reasons why. It was, if you're a Tech alum listening to us, you're not having a good day.
Tough pills to swallow.
Yeah, so we'll get to that as well. More on the Braves.
I had a great day yesterday. Did you have a good day yesterday?
Yeah, I told you. I played, hung out with Abe.
That was right.
My mom's still in town. She's been in town for
weeks. Hello, Miss Valia.
Yeah, so cooked at home. I'm watching Mobland. Are you watching Mobland?
Haven't started Mobland yet. I heard it's awesome. It's Jackie and I are doing Your Friends and Neighbors now.
Finished that. Yeah, that was the John Hamm vehicle, if you will.
Yes.
So I told you I went to Sinners with my kid. He loved that movie. You know the Yeah, we're doing our entertainment thing as well. I watch a lot of baseball, watch all three of the Braves games. And, you know, I'm not surprised. Those are two mediocre teams having bad seasons in Boston and in Atlanta. And you kind of, when you watch those games, understand why. Both those lineups are not what they thought or what they need them to be. There's just too many holes in that lineup. Braves offensively are a complete middle-of-the-road team. And I think it's a real frustrating weekend when you lose 2 out of 3 to Boston at home. You lose 2 out of 3 to San Diego at home. Where were we last week?
Philadelphia.
Yeah, Philadelphia. So you salvaged, I guess, the last game of that series.
Yep.
But, you know, can we'll ask the question later, too, but can Atlanta live with just an ordinary summer of baseball? And when I say an ordinary summer of baseball, it's – you know, we're a rootable team. You know, we still have your stars, Acuna and Olsen and Austin and Ozzie, but we're not special. There's just nothing special right now about the Braves. Although Spencer Schwellenbach, now that was special. That was special. When a guy's throwing 100 miles an hour and has 4 or 5 of his fastest pitches ever in the majors, doesn't have a walk, has 11 Ks, Red Sox, you could have given him 20 innings. They would have not hit him the other day.
6 1/3, 11 strikeouts, no walks, and I think only 5 hits.
So then when you say Schwellenbach, Sale, Strider, and then you think of the lineup, even though the lineup is not quite what it's been, you go, like, why not us? But the body of work, I mean, we're starting to get deeper into this thing to say, you know, and it's a couple of years now since that monstrous offensive explosion in 2023, you're kind of sitting back and going, maybe this is just, you know, it's a little stale. That lineup is stale. The injuries obviously has hurt overall, right? And it just was one of those weekends. It just was not coming together.
So what do you do? Do you make a change? Do try to make a splash acquisition?
I think you need to hope that Jerks and Profar gives you a big-time lift. And that you start to add, you know, some offensive punch. Let me just say this about Alex Verdugo and Eli White and Nick Allen, and now it's Luke Williams, I guess, who's up there, right? And you know, that's based on some injuries and everything else. These are just
guys. Average.
They're just guys. And Michael Harris is as good a center field as you ever see. But offensively, you can't count on him either. So, like, you start to see that this lineup, where it used to be so damn scary to face, because the bottom of the order.
Well, the lineup used to just be relentless.
Yeah, and Acuna would get up at the leadoff spot, and he'd have guys on all the time, because the bottom of our order was just. And now you can pitch down to the bottom of our order. Obviously, there's a reason most of these guys. Alex Verdugo's on his 4th major league team in 4 years. That's not a guy that is going to impact you offensively for long. He can come up and be effective. Eli White, you could say the same about him. You know, Nick Allen is a great defensive shortstop, which you can handle if the rest of the guys are hitting. So it was a very disappointing weekend. And to watch them go down in 2 hours and 15 minutes yesterday.
Just get mowed down.
Yeah, I know it was an elite pitcher throwing for Boston, but like, it's just, are you able to handle and just say, I like our baseball team, this is not our year. And then a big, what do we say when you go to the doctor annually? You know, it's a full
big checkup.
Yeah, saying, where are
physical.
We?
Physical, big physical.
Where are we since the World Series? Where are we? Early playoff exits, You know, not healthy at the end of the year. Sometimes you can't control that. But what's happening this year? And again, as much as I say, I've got to believe what I watch day in and day out after this many games in. When I watch Spencer Schwellenbach, when I watch him on Saturday and I watch Sale against the Phillies, and I got to believe Spencer Strider, what we know what's coming, you kind of say, you got to hang in there, right, with this
unit. You got to hang in there. And the question for Braves fans is not, you know, are you ready for an average summer? But if things stay as the status quo, if nothing changes, if there's no acquisition, if they're not active in the free agent market or the trade market before the deadline and things stay the same, are you okay with that?
Yeah, and again,
because if they make the changes, or if Alex Anthopoulos gets aggressive and they bring in a splash and acquisition trade, they make a trade, and things do stay the same, at least as a Braves fan, you can say, well, we tried.
But then you're trading prospects,
right?
You're trading prospects.
The future changes.
In a 2025 season where nothing about this season is proven that we're going to be in the mix. Nothing about it. You started 0-7, right? You started 0-7, and now you're pretty much been a 500 team since then. So then the question is, with four games under 500, is this really the time to trade prospects? And I'll just say this. You get in the postseason, and the Phillies are staring it down, or the Cubbies are staring it down, or the Padres, and going, oh, damn, it's Chris Sale, Spencer Strider, and Spencer Schwellenbach. This is going to be a tough series.
Yeah.
Like, that alone would suggest find your way in. Just find your way, which is kind of why every game seems to have more urgency, right?
I think last year on opening day, John Smoltz was on these airwaves with you and I, and we had simply asked him, what's going to be the difference come September, October? And he very simply said, pitching.
Yeah, and health. And that's what you didn't have last year when Chris Sale couldn't even go after being healthy all of last year. So the Braves sit 9.5 back of the Mets, who are hot again. The Mets have won 8 out of 10. The Phillies have come back down to earth. By the way, the Phillies were on that 9-game winning streak. And then I think they lost one to Oakland, and now they've lost 4 in a row. So the Braves, they lost every game this weekend in Milwaukee, right? It's a long friggin' season. So they're on that run of 10 out of 11. The Braves beat him in game 2 of the doubleheader with Chris Sale. They haven't won since. But you can't be thinking about winning divisions. You have to be thinking about getting to 500 again.
How about win series?
Yeah, win a series. You lost 4 straight series. Diamondbacks come in just like the Padres. Diamondbacks come in just like the Red Sox. Their worst stretch of the year. The worst stretch of the year for Boston. Total free fall. They win 2 out of 3. The worst stretch of the year for the Padres. They hadn't scored any runs in a week and a half, and they win the series. Now Arizona comes in. You got to win this series.
All right, we touched on what happened in college baseball yesterday, both for the University of Georgia and Georgia Tech. Their season's coming to an end. They get knocked out of their respective regionals. However, the big news in college sports that broke yesterday was also on the flats. Georgia Tech athletic director Jay Batt, who signed a 5-year extension with Georgia Tech in December, is heading to Michigan State to be the athletic director. Now, State, Jay Batt hired Brent Key. Jay Batt hired Damon Stoudemire. Jay Batt was absolutely crushing it in fundraising for Georgia Tech athletics, and it is
right
a
there.
big loss.
Right,
big loss.
Right there. Jay Batt had immersed himself, and you and I know this town really well. Jay Batt was everywhere. He was at dinner in Buckhead. He was at a Boosters Club meeting over here. He was traveling wherever Tech alumni was. He made it clear, if Georgia Tech wants to compete with the big boys, we have got to get off our pocketbook. And he was raising money at a fever pitch. Amazing projects happening over there. Amazing upgrades to the facilities and making it a world-class scenario. And Jay Batt was exactly what the institution needed. And again, it's another example of the SEC and Big Ten are, you know, best in class, because leaving for Michigan State is an enormous loss for Georgia Tech, who had just signed to that deal. And the Big Ten in a program like Michigan State, where basketball and football, they want to be competing for national titles was, I guess, too attractive. I don't know.
Educate me, because maybe I'm looking at this through my, you know, Atlanta tinted goggles, but East Lansing, Michigan, and Michigan State compared to Georgia Tech and Atlanta, Georgia. Now, look, I understand Georgia Tech is a elite academic institution. There's no question about that. JBAT is an athletic director. I don't see that as a huge upgrade. Do you?
Listen, basketball is not even close.
Okay, obviously.
So there's two major sports. Basketball, it would be absolutely foolish to compare Georgia Tech basketball to Michigan State. Michigan State is an elite national program every year. Okay. In football, competing in the Big Ten for Michigan State gets more and more difficult. Also, all the other sports attached. I agree, living in Atlanta and raising your family in Atlanta as opposed to East Lansing, Michigan.
Right.
I mean, they would have gone back to the coffers, I would think, to get JBAT more money. It's just a bad, bad moment for Georgia Tech to lose this guy, and it's a really, really important hire. Now, he was making $979,000 at Tech. Word is he'll make $1.5 million or so at Michigan State. I got to believe there's enough alum that could have juiced up the BAT numbers, right?
Yes. I would definitely have expected that, but this seemed to happen pretty quick. I'm looking at Atlanta Journal-Constitution's hot board for the next athletic director at Georgia Tech, and as it's pulling up, I just want to reiterate, you know, a news line broke on Sunday morning, Saturday evening about JBAT potentially talking with Michigan State, and then boom, he's gone.
Quick.
Couple of quick names. Graham Neff, who is the current athletic director at Clemson. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, but he is a Tech alum. So watch out for that name. Marvin Lewis. John Palumbo is Tech's executive deputy athletics director. So we'll see.
All right. Georgia baseball didn't make any friends on the internet yesterday. They were – did you see, Bo, what their uniforms looked like? Buttoned –
down to the belly button.
To the belly button. I mean, chest showing. Yeah. It looked like they were shagging fly balls before a game, and even then in the majors it would have been like, that doesn't fly. This was during the games also. A lot of bat flipping, a lot of smack talking from Georgia pitchers to Oklahoma State. They had the whole internet before they lost that game saying, why is Georgia acting out this way? Next thing you know, you get to the bottom of the ninth and Oklahoma State at Foley Field hits two-run homers, and people are celebrating the demise of Dwes Johnson's program for this particular weekend. They are out.
They're out. They were up 9-7 heading into the bottom of the ninth, gave up two home runs. One was to tie the game at 9-9, then it was a two-run walk-off homer. They lose 11-9. Going back to what you said during the show open, I was listening to my great buddy Jeff Dantzler on the radio call for the Georgia game yesterday. He repeatedly talked about how it was ridiculous that Georgia was the visiting team, that Georgia would have to go to the bottom of the ninth. He just kept saying it. It's not sitting right with me. It's not sitting right with me.
Right.
This is not how it should be. And, of course, that is the fashion of which they lose the game.
Yeah, I assume that. Yeah, I mean, otherwise, all three.
You're the host.
Okay, but all three regional teams, then none of them can ever be a home game against Georgia. I mean, again, I would imagine if it gets to another game, at some point Georgia's the home team again. But the idea is
But if Oklahoma State and Georgia both lost and they're in that elimination game, does that not defer to the actual host to be the home team? I don't know.
Yeah, I'd like to know the rule on that. Georgia Tech loses, and really when they lost it was on Saturday night. They come back down 7 runs to Murray State. They were down 10-3. They tie at 10-10, but they lose to Murray State 13-11. That puts them in a scenario they had to beat Ole Miss and Oxford, Mississippi, and it did not happen. A back-and-forth contest that they lose
11-9.
Danny Hall, I was watching the end of the game. Tech loads the bases. They're showing Danny Hall, and I was like, this is going to be brutal.
25 years at Tech? How
40 years as a
40 years.
No, not at Tech, but yeah, close to second most wins all time in college baseball.
Unbelievable.
And it ends with a strikeout on the final at bat, and Danny Hall's career is over. Kyle Lotis striking out, bases loaded, swinging.
You want to talk about just how hard college baseball is and the finality of a season like that? Vanderbilt, the number one ranked team in the country, they lose to Wright State, and their season is over. Texas.
Why are you so happy about that?
Vandy won the SEC and got ousted.
Yeah, like, no.
It's, Texas, that's too. Well,
Texas is the number two team in the country. They lose to Texas San Antonio. LSU plays today, right?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
It's a five. Little Rock. It's a 5-1 game in the bottom of the ninth. Vandy makes it 5-3. They double in two runs to tie it, except it's a ground rule double. Guy was already scored, and they're like, that's a bad bounce for Vandy. So Wright's take out one more chance. It's the kid from the Austin kid from Pace Academy was up with two outs in the ninth. He flies out to Wright, and Wright State eliminates Vanderbilt.
I'm surprised you stood up that or stayed up that late. If it was a late game, those college baseball games are
that wasn't
so
a late
long.
Game. That ended like 4 o'clock.
There's what time did it start? 10 a.m. I mean, my goodness,
those games go on.
They're forever.
I know. Hey, when we come back. Top of the hour. I got good news for Hawks fans. Just going to stick around. Sports Radio 92.9. Sports Radio 92.9, the game. It's funny. We're watching the Major League Baseball Network, MLB, and it's just starting at 10 a.m. their hour with DeRosa. Friend of the show, Mark DeRosa, and the number one
topic, the lead topic, is Georgia baseball's jerseys.
Yeah,
and the deep V, the unbuttoned buttons all the way down to the bottom of the chest, top of the stomach.
The last time I wore a shirt like that, it'd be July 4th after one too many beers.
Of course,
walking around the pool, you know, and maybe a Hawaiian shirt.
And guess what? That's when it's acceptable.
Yeah, unbuttoned to the navel. Or if you've ever seen pictures of me at Jazz Fest in New Orleans, where basically everything goes,
it's 100. That's when it's acceptable.
Yeah, it's 100 degrees. I got one of those cool, you know, short sleeve shirts at Jazz Fest. Not that anybody wants to see me, you know, my shirt unbuttoned down to my belly button, but like not on a baseball field where, listen, I imagine there's a lot of uptight baseball coaches, right? I'm all for like just don't take yourself so seriously all the time, right? But I think there's a lot of coaches, and I'll just talk about some of the guys that I know. My buddy Jeff Wolverton, who coaches youth baseball, has been in here many, many times, travel baseball. He's kind of the guru over at NYO, over there at Chastain. To see Georgia baseball players in a regional with their shirts unbuttoned literally to their belly button, I don't know why Wes Johnson, I don't know how that happens. And then all the chirping that was going on, Georgia strikes somebody out, pitchers walking towards the batter, yelling at him as he struck him out. I'm not going to get caught up in the bat flips and everything else because I don't know. I guess, is Georgia any worse than anybody else? But it's pretty amazing. The MLB Network led with Georgia baseball. Led.
And Mark DeRosa claiming the deep V is out.
Yes. And by the way, if there's anybody that could have worn the deep V, it would have been Mark DeRosa.
Yeah, D-Row could do it.
Dude,
for
D-Row
sure.
Is the guy. thanks for being with us. Second hour of the program. Things I learned coming up in about 25 minutes or so. Here's the reality for the NBA. Okay? Now, I am not saying that there are not outstanding talent out there in Oklahoma City and Indiana. SGA and Halliburton at the top of that list, right? And two really good basketball teams. The Pacers have been better than everybody in basketball, by the way, for about 3 months. This is not like a new thing. If you had seen like when they got hot, I think starting in February. But I'll just give you the Kimberly Shapiro factor, right?
Please.
Kimberly Shapiro factor is she doesn't have a ton of interest in sports unless you give her a storyline or unless there's something sexy going on.
Yeah.
Right? The chances of my wife watching 5 minutes of this series.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander doesn't do it for her.
She wouldn't know. Now, if you told her LeBron James is playing Kevin Durant or the Knicks haven't won in this many years. And
Ben Stiller and Timothy Chalamet are
Chalamet
on courtside.
Chalamet and Jenner courtside against, you know, hey, Luka Doncic, by the way, was traded away to here. And like there is, and not that that matters at all. I'm just talking about the marginal sports fan. The, you know, and she's not even a marginal.
The casual.
The casual sports fan, right? I mean, I'm fired up for it. Sports gambling exists for a reason also. You got to figure it out. I think I took the Pacers plus 11. I know somebody had them plus 35 to win it all. Like,
wow.
I bet $100 to win $3,500. I think I had them to start the Eastern Finals. You could get them at plus 10 or 11 to win it all. So $100 bet, you win $1,000.
Yeah.
Because the
like
Knicks,
those
were
odds,
Knicks were favorable, come see. But it, you know, somebody's going to – I'll look at the odds in a second. Somebody's going to attach themselves to it and have a rooting interest. Oklahoma City, I would think, is, I'm just going to say, in the series, are minus 400. That's what I'm going to guess. Do you have it?
Pulling it up right now.
Okay. I'm just going to guess that that's where they're at. But it's just not – I mean, for the NBA – you know,
Oklahoma City Thunder minus 405.
Okay. That's pretty good because that could have been anywhere.
Yeah, so that could have been anywhere.
That's so getting back, call. Indiana's getting 320 coming
That's
back.
That's right, 320.
Okay. Well, there you go. Let's hear the other night. Now, listen, they're a great team to watch. Rick Carlisle, there's no better coach. He has done a phenomenal job playing 10 guys. And the other night, a couple of absolute offensive studs in Haliburton and Pascal Siakam.
49 states, it's just basketball, but this is Indiana. I want to congratulate the Knicks on a great season. Tom Thibodeau has done a great job rebuilding that team. They caught a team that has been on a magical ride, and our guys earned this. Congratulations to our guys.
No. They have been playing great basketball of late. Here he is talking more about the Pacers that absolutely take the Knicks to the woodshed at home, game six on Saturday night.
And this group has been special, pulled off some very special things. And so we don't take it for granted at all. The Knicks were an unreal opponent, tough-minded, always coming at you. After the game, they showed great class with, you know, all the interactions that I had with all those guys. I mentioned the job that Tibbs has done there. You know, he's turned the culture completely flipped from what it was. And so, you know, to be able to win the series the way we did today at home in front of our fans is huge. You never want to go back on the road in game seven. And so, you know, we're grateful.
Just think about that game one loss where the Knicks were up 14 with 2.5 minutes to go, and then they lose that game. Just brutal.
Yeah, you can't recover from that.
No.
Same thing happened to Boston against New York. You can't blow 20-point leads when you're fairly close. Now you flip the whole balance when you blow games like that. I'm just going to say this to you. You didn't know who Aaron Naismith was. You probably barely know who he is today. Do you know who he is? I think he was a
first. Only way I know him is because he went absolutely, he blitzed
him. He had the nine three-pointers or whatever.
It's the only way I know who he is.
Miles Turner, averaging 15.2 in the playoffs. Aaron Naismith, Andrew Nembhard, Benedict Mathurin, Obi Toppin, TJ McConnell. Those are the guys playing with Siakam and Haliburton. My point is, you don't know who they play 10 guys. They play Ben Shepherd also, okay? They play 10 guys.
I believe that's called a motley crew.
Yeah. Well, they're more that's what you would have said around them. Not anymore.
Right.
Now you look at Miles Turner and Aaron Naismith and the way they get after, and Oklahoma City's the best defenders. Like, Oklahoma City's one of the best defensive teams. But I will just say this. The Atlanta Hawks have two number one picks, two first rounders. They've got Okongwu playing the best basketball of his career. They got Reese Hoshea spending a whole offseason to get bigger and better, and he was all rookie team. They've got Dyson Daniels, a gift from the heavens that has rolled into town. They got Trae Young, and they got Jalen Johnson. Are you telling me that roster looks that much different than the Knicks and Pacers? That much different than you know, Mikal Bridges of the Knicks and Josh Hart? You know, I mean, you know, these are not world beaters, some of the other guys. And I know they have Towns and Brunson, but we've got Jalen and let's just say Dyson and Jalen yep. Johnson and Trae Young. So, like, I would have never thought. I was like, there's Cleveland and Boston and everybody else. It ain't the case. And I'm just going to tell you, get your first-round picks right. Hang on to Trae. Move him in the right direction. Jalen Johnson becomes an all-star. This team, the sky is the limit. But that's a big if.
Big if.
But if Jalen Johnson shows the body type, the shooting ability, the athleticism to be a all-star or right near it, the Atlanta Hawks will be as good as anybody in the Eastern Conference. But somebody has to become the second all-star on this team.
Absolutely.
That's it. It's real simple. And by the way, they never would have thought Indiana that Miles Turner, Aaron Naismith, Andrew Nembhard would be as good as they are. Those three all averaging double digits and absolutely can match up with any. They dominated the Knicks. I mean, friggin' dominated them when they needed to. So that's kind of my good news for the Hawks. I'm curious to see. Maybe you do something really good in the draft with your two first-round picks as well. That's part of it. I want to read you a quote, and maybe we'll talk about this when we come back.
Okay.
This is the AJC this morning. They're talking about, again, the struggles of the Atlanta Braves and just, like, what's going on down there. And back to this thing in baseball about does somebody need to set the tone, right, for, you know, getting serious about where this team is going or whatever that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you heard, it was me and Red Sox, like what is flipping something in the clubhouse going to do to make you hit better with runners in scoring position?
Yeah, it's up to the players. I would say this, and again, never played professional baseball, but with the longevity of the season and the redundancy of the summer, the dog days of summer, and you're playing so many games, I don't know if there's anything that Brian Snicker can say to the clubhouse. I don't know if there's any message that Alex Anthopoulos can send through the clubhouse. What I'm saying is that the players need to make the change.
Okay.
They've got to play better.
They asked Matt Olson if a pep talk would work, a pep talk, which in and of itself sounds rudimentary.
What's next, the players-only meeting?
Yeah, last year they had one, lost three in a row.
Exactly.
After. Matt Olson says, they are professional athletes. They're grown men with kids.
Yes.
In my time, I don't think guys need special motivation from their teammates. Obviously, everybody's around and pumping each other up, and we got good chemistry and a good team. But I'm not the biggest rah-rah guy. I think everybody is out there busting their rear to win a game. So when you hear a professional athlete say, they're grown men with kids, we don't need a pep talk. Like, is baseball the only sport where you say that – that applies? Because I don't think that applies in football at all.
No, like, and football is markedly different.
Adrenaline,
again, going back to
motivation,
longevity
hard
of the season, one loss, you feel like your season's over, two losses, you're like, oh my God, what's happening?
You play more inspired at home, that can make you better on third down.
I would say the message that's needed for the Braves clubhouse is a simple one, but simple is not always easy.
What's the message? There's urgency, we got to get going?
I go back to some of the messages that would be said in NFL locker rooms, and guys, when things were going sideways, would say, don't mess with my money, right? If we start losing games, everybody's job.
So how does a pep talk fix a guy who's hitting 210 with runners in scoring position? He's more locked in.
Yeah, I don't
like. Baseball's a weird.
You're right.
Sport
you're
that
going
way.
Up against another pitcher who may or may not be on absolute right. fire. Like, you can be as locked
he
in
throws
as possible.
He throws you a backdoor cutter that you didn't see coming at 2-2 with guys on second and third in the eighth.
Throws you a curveball that you think's going to hit you in the head and it ends up in the strike zone.
Guys who are listening, is motivation the most important in football and then everything else? Or is baseball, quote, motivation? Now, focus matters. Passion matters. Running stuff out, I guess.
Here's what I do know. Bat on ball. That matters in baseball.
404-726-0929. Matt Olson says, these men have kids. They're grown men. We don't need pep talks. Do you agree with that? I'm just curious, from a guy who's coached or a guy who just follows the sport. 404-726-0929. We're grown men with kids. We don't need a pep talk. Braves are scuffling, to say the least. Things I learned coming up. Nothing like a Monday in sports radio, number one rated. We're getting to be the number one rated station in Atlanta. No, I didn't even tell you. Forget about sports. But we're on one of them. We are on one of them heaters. Who's on a heater right now in sports? Oh, the Pacers and OKC.
I got one. Scottie Scheffler.
All right. Well, let's just do that now instead of things I learned. We have so many folks that are huge golfers that listen. Are you paying attention to anything other than the majors? Because if it's anything other than the majors, it's just called Scottie Scheffler's tournament. He is lighting it up.
Scottie Scheffler accumulated $10 million of earnings just in the month of May. Let me put this into perspective for you. Scottie Scheffler played in four golf tournaments since May 2nd. He won three of those golf tournaments. The Colorado Rockies in Major League Baseball, they played 28 baseball games since May 2nd. They won three baseball games. Scottie Scheffler won as many golf tournaments as the Colorado Rockies won games.
The Colorado Rockies play one team of major leaguers versus major leaguers. Scottie Scheffler's, how many golfers a weekend is he beating?
144, roughly. This past weekend was 70.
Think about that.
Yeah.
They're playing one team head-to-head. He's playing 70 to 100, and he's got as many wins as
I got an even better one. Scottie Scheffler and the Colorado Rockies have the same numbers of wins by four or more in 2025. They each have three wins by four or more.
By the way, what did the Rockies do yesterday and the Mets? Mets beat them again, I'm pretty sure. I've never seen baseball games where the game's going off at 350.
Yeah, what's up with that?
What do you mean?
350.
Yeah, because Colorado's one of the worst teams historically in the history of baseball.
Oh, 350 meaning minus 350.
If you want to
bet. I know there's some wonky start times, right?
No,
Didn't you tell me that, Bo? There's like an 11:35 a.m.
Well, the other night,
like, what is that?
Well, Netflix, who gets those 11:45 games or something?
Peacock?
No, it's another
streamer.
Okay,
streamer?
Sorry, I was confused.
Who's getting Apple? Is Apple getting that? Apple had Friday night. People were not happy in town here at all, right?
No.
You were looking for the game on Friday night, and they start screaming about the Braves. This is embarrassing.
July 6th, 11:30 a.m. on Roku.
Oh, my God. July 6th? Is that us?
That's against the Baltimore Orioles.
One of the dreadful
Bloody Mary game.
There you go. I'm going to have to
Mets win 5-3 yesterday. If you wanted to bet the Mets, you were giving up almost 350.
Yeah, that's insane.
I've never seen that in baseball.
No.
Never seen it. And, you know, coming back, you get plus 300. Thinking about it, there's only two things that can happen when two teams play. You win or you lose. It's not like you're going up against a bunch of people. And you're getting plus 300 coming back if you take the Rockies. That's how historically bad this team is. Not to focus too much. I mean, listen, you know, sports gambling is something you hear a lot about. But that's just wild, the numbers. And that's why the Mets, who absolutely dominated over the weekend, were playing Colorado. And they're on an absolute deal. We got a phone call here we want to take or not. So Matt Olson says these are grown-ass men with kids. We don't need pep talks. Who do we got? Hey, Brad, what'd you think of that comment by Olson?
Then just do your job. I mean, if I didn't do my job correctly and I had a slump, I'd probably be let go. Same with you guys. Same with anywhere else. Just do your job. Figure out a way to make it right. You're getting paid a ton of money.
Yeah, I guess, Brad, my question is, I understand motivation and loafing in football. It's absolutely a factor. How quick you run to the play. Do you run your patterns correctly and not give up on stuff? Blocking downfield, you know, taking pain, throwing your body out there. What do you think it is in baseball that motivation or a pep talk, and Bo, you coach your girls in softball, but what do you think it actually tangibly does in that particular sport?
It's just these mental slumps. I mean, they just get in these mental slumps and they think they got to have something special or something's got to happen to fire them up to get them out of that. It's just work harder. Just figure out what it is.
I would say in baseball, tell me if I'm wrong. Just like the movie Major League, who needs to send the message? Terry McGuirk needs to get down in that clubhouse and send the message. Baseball is such a different sport than any other professional sport. Again, going back to 162
games. Well,
what's
Terry McGuirk's message? I'm going to fire you guys?
That's what he just said on the call.
I think you
better play better or else I'm going shopping.
I know, but playing better, like Nick Allen wants to hit. He's not a hitter.
I understand.
He's a 220 hitter. Like, what bothers me is, you know, watching guys, you know, the strikeout is such a prevalent part of baseball, and it's like, you know, there's no situational hitting. Michael Harris is chasing stuff, you know, in that ninth inning. And guys are just chasing, not being disciplined. Like, to me, that's the mental part of it. How dialed in are you? How much film did you watch? Get it, move a guy over. I don't think they're looking to hit home runs, but they're in a slump right now. The only thing they can think about is trying to find a way to get any runs. Like yesterday, they went down. You talked about it was 2 hours and 15 minutes. They didn't put up a fight yesterday.
It laid down.
Yeah. So,
well, you know, you've been mentioning sports betting a couple of times throughout the show, as we usually do. And there's good momentum and there's bad momentum. And bad momentum is really, really tough to shake.
Well, now, because now mentally in baseball, I think it's a huge factor. Like I told guys, you cannot like the Braves this weekend. They're like, why? I was like, Red Sox have lost 5 in a row. They're not that bad. Like, they're not going to lose 9 in a row. And just like with the Braves, I'm just like, there's nothing about them that should be favored every single night.
It reminds me of a very specific game of the Falcons season last year when the Falcons were hot and the Seattle Seahawks were coming in town and the Seahawks were reeling. And you were like, this does not feel good.
Right.
We and both the Seahawks felt that way. Yeah, came in and took care of business.
All right, let's do our things. Hello! Listen, we're going to talk about special occasions. So, you know, I know that you love talk about food and dining. I can see it from the results of my Instagram and everything else, which has exploded of late. We're giving you two places, okay? And I understand. I love a $10 burger and a $7 euro and everything else. We're going to give you two places, a little more high-end for something special. Well, number one, you went to the Chastain and had the burger.
Oh.
So the burger at the Chastain at Chastain Park in Buckhead is regarded as the best burger maybe in Atlanta. And is that fair?
100% fair. It is elite. It was on the menu for $34. Again, I would pay $50.
I don't think it's $34.
I promise.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Also, I went to a place called Bar Blanc. Might be the most beautiful restaurant in Atlanta. Outside, on a patio. It's a if you love Paris or fantasized about it, it's Ford Fry's restaurant. There's one thing, Bo, when you sit down, they ask you, medium, medium rare, medium well. It's like, what do you mean? That's the menu. You get French fries, which are the most. Did you see my video of the fries?
Yeah.
The fries and steak and bread and salad. I love a place that does one thing and does it well.
Do the fries come with the raclette cheese?
No, it comes with the béarnaise sauce.
Okay.
So two great spots. We led the Chastain and Bar Blanc for a big night out.
Quickly, I do want to mention my sister-in-law and her fiance. They checked out Billy Kramer's new NFA location in the Avalon. They said it was awesome.
Yeah. Well, they're rocking and rolling there. So now you have your burger reviews. All right, what else happened? We learned over the weekend that TNT is done with the NBA. It is the least sad farewell in television history. The least sad. You know why? Nobody at TNT lost their job. None of the on-air guys lost their job. They didn't move from Atlanta. The whole thing is going to be the same. It's going to be on ESPN. So let's just say the goodbyes were a little different. Here's Shaq.
We're not coming around. And like I said, even though the name changes, the engine is still the same. And to that new network we're coming to, we're not coming to F around. And since it's the last show, I'm going to say it. We're not coming around. We kicking ass, we taking names, and we taking over. Okay? I love you guys and I appreciate you guys, but hey, all right? Let me see that number one time for the number one show ever on TV.
The number.
You come over to take over that next network, too.
Number one sports show of all time. Here's Ernie Johnson. We'll go to break with this. There has never been better chemistry, more entertaining, or anybody that revolutionized or ever do it better than this. Ernie Johnson. Listen, TNT's an Atlanta company, right? So this was almost emotional, except nobody, again, loses their gig.
We look forward. The four of us, as you've already heard, the four of us are going to be together. Our production crew is going to be together. It's going to be that same bunch. We're still going to be shooting that show in Atlanta. It's just going to air somewhere else. And so the craziness that you've seen, the nonsense and the foolishness and the top-notch basketball analysis, all of that stuff's going to be on. It's going to be on ESPN or ABC next year, not on TNT. For that, we're sad. But I'm proud to say for the last time, thanks for watching us. It's the NBA on TNT.
Before we go, guys, let's get a mic drop.
And there you have it. TNT loses the show. I don't know how it's going to work, what games they do, what games Wilbon and Kendrick Perkins and all. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I just know that show stays intact. Bill Simmons says he thinks they're going to mess the whole thing up.
Yeah, ESPN, he said ESPN's going to have to change how they do commercials. They're going to have to give those guys longer segments to allow them to create the magic that they've done for so long on TNT.
And one other note we learned, sad note over the weekend, the host of Sports Science.
Yeah, host and co-creator of Sports Science, John Brinkus, passed away over the weekend, losing his battle with depression. Very, very sad news. He was an Atlanta guy. Rest in peace. Tragic.
Yeah. I mean, I think he revolutionized that. There was no such segment called Sports Science till John Brinkus did it. So those are things I learned over the weekend. When we come back, we'll play some Three Strikes. We will tell the unfortunate end of our college baseball season. Can we just do something in these tournaments? These NCAA baseball bats? Can we do anything? Sports Radio 92.9. Sports Radio 92.9, the game Three Strikes is coming up in a little bit. Drew Butler, Steak Shapiro on a Monday. What's our schedule this week? Do we even know? I get so confused. I know Sandy, is she going to give us 3 days? As long as the queen gives us her time, that's all we care
about. I know. I got to text Sandy. Guys, I got some scheduling things happening here soon.
You
so.
Got you know.
I'm sorry.
My sister-in-law is like, that guy Drew, he really does always tell you guys about all the things he's doing. I said, I'm asking him. I like to hear. He plays in a lot of celebrity tournaments. He's like, he doesn't offer those up. That's part of the banter. She goes, I know, but, you know, it just seems like he's always doing something. I was like, well,
that's the job.
He's a famous guy.
No.
I said, our job is not to lessen. You want to feel like you're listening to guys that have a lot going on, and that's what you do. It's like I learned
from somebody that I looked up to that you gotta be your own biggest fan.
Self-promotion. It's like the other station I used to work at, where there was a lot of underlying tension. Not tension, what's the word? Yeah. We did not get along, many of the folks over there.
That would be tension.
And some of them had been let go from the previous station I owned. So like that, you know, we had at this old station, we had every single talent in Atlanta came through that station. So you could only have 4 shows. So guys went on and had great careers. And when they would try to take shots and say, that guy, Steak, is the biggest self-promoter. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's what you're in
and
the
I'm
business
like,
of doing.
Should I try to be the 9th most famous talk show host in Atlanta? Or should I go for 11th? Or should I go for, like, you know, we're not taxidermists, right?
Right.
We're not accountants. We are in the media entertainment business. More exposure, more ratings, more conversation. I used to tell guys, if we ask somebody in a focus group, what do you think of so-and-so? Well, yeah, he's fine. Yeah. I kind of like no emotion, nothing to say about him. So I used to say, like, that's why you guys are where you are. And that's why, you know, other guys have had their careers, have longevity and excel, because we're not in the business of being under the radar. I want to be the, you know what? I don't want to be first because that's too much self-promotion. I want to be a 9th.
Well, it's much like your very popular food review series on Instagram right now. You're not trying to go to the worst places in Atlanta
right.
with C's on their health scores. You want to go to great places and experience great food and bring those opportunities to the people.
Or they're like, why are you screaming? Why are you getting so excited? Well, first of all, I do get that excited. And B, it's entertainment. That's what we're trying to do. So when Drew Butler's playing in a fancy tournament like this weekend in Boston, right?
Yep.
Tell people who's at that tournament.
Yeah, I'll be at the Boston Golf Club Invitational this upcoming weekend with our good buddy Sean McDonough and some of the other people that are in the tournament. Taylor Twellman from Apple and MLS. He's been on this show. As well as Ryan Whitney, former NHL hockey player who is an absolute megastar through Barstool Sports right now with their Spittin' Chicklets podcast, which I believe is by far and away the number one hockey podcast. So
it's like what those guys did for soccer. What were they, the two dudes that just took over?
Men in Blazers.
Yeah. That's what Spinning Chicklets was on the hockey.
I ever told you about my Men in Blazers story? Raj Bennett, the co-creator, massive Chicago Bears fan. They did a live podcast at the Fox Theater. I slid into his DMs. I said, my dad's Kevin Butler. We got to go hang out in the green room with him. That was during the MLS All-Star weekend here in Atlanta. Awesome dude. Monster Bears fan. And I told my dad this as well over the weekend, and he kind of chuckled, but I said, Dad, don't you think it's kind of crazy that the Pope knows who you are now?
That's crazy.
Absolutely, right? I mean the guy's amazing. A huge Bears fan.
That's amazing. So, like, if you would get an audience with the Pope, he would absolutely know.
I would have
who
to think,
of course
for
he would.
Sure.
Dad was a kicker, of course. All right, give us our big game of
yeah,
the night.
Yeah, John Foy, big game of the night. There's a ton of elimination games in the College World Series. Notably, LSU taking on Little Rock. That game is in Baton Rouge at 9 p.m. tonight on ESPN2. Also, Tennessee on the brink. They're taking on Wake Forest at 6 p.m. on ESPN2. So as you're flipping around the ESPN family of channels tonight, you're going to have John Foy big games of the night all over the place. Elimination games galore. I see six of them. Thank you, John Foy.
Yeah, I wish that in the NCAA hoops and in NCAA baseball, that Georgia just resonated more.
I know.
Tech out, Georgia out. They don't even make it to a championship game. Like, Georgia's out at home at Foley Field. Tech is out after Murray State?
Yeah.
So Ole Miss and Murray State are playing again, right?
Yep, that is in Oxford, 6 p.m. SEC Network.
All right, absolutely underrated college town. So one of the things we were talking about is why Jay Batt would leave Tech for Michigan State, and it's kind of a silly question. They have they have close to $200 million they spend on their sports franchises. Georgia Tech, I think, is $60 million less, but it has a lot to do with the Big Ten TV rights. And there's a history of Michigan State basketball and football, which are the king sports, and being at a Big Ten school. But we're like, moving to East Lansing or live in Atlanta, you got to cook in a Tech. You're raising all that money. We got the great coach in Brent Key. Things are moving forward. We think Damon Stoudemire, although I think the word is still out on Tech hoops. But anyway, he's leaving. What's a very underrated college town where somebody would move to and you'd be like, I get it. Like, I get it.
I've got a couple in mind.
I don't know that East Lansing is that place.
Lafayette, man. University
really?
Of Louisiana Lafayette is one of the biggest
Never
party
been.
Schools. Not that you have to be a party
right.
school to be have a good college city.
So I've been to Lafayette
yeah, man.
10 times. My wife's entire family, that's where she grew up. It's just a great town. We were watching 60 Minutes last night. Have you seen this piece? Just Google it. Cajun music, real life, Cajun lifestyle. The entire piece was about not like Louisiana is not New Orleans. Cajun music, Cajun food, Cajun mindset. Talked about these influencers, just like it's all about fishing and family and great meals and this Cajun music that's gotten hot in Acadia. Is that right, Bo? Acadia, Louisiana. My wife was so excited watching this. But Lafayette's a good town. You got an underrated college town?
Yeah, my best friend from high school played football at Iowa. Iowa City is a very underrated college town. It comes to life during football season. I'm sure it was a blast to be around when Caitlin Clark was lighting it up Iowa Hawkeyes hoops. In the summer, it's nice as well.
What do you think? Madison is not underrated.
No, Madison's not underrated. I was thinking of this one as well, and I'll be there at the end of July. I don't know if Palo Alto qualifies, but Stanford is incredible.
Yeah, that can't qualify.
Okay.
That's too bad.
I didn't think so.
What about Boone, North Carolina?
Oh, I've heard amazing
Appalachian
things of
State,
App State. Yeah.
Right? I think Stephanie Blank, a friend of the show.
That's a good pull right
mom
there.
Mom of Josh Blank, who'll be running the Falcons and everything. She went to App State.
Yep.
And nice sports programs there, too, as well. 404-726-0929. Underrated college town.
Absolutely underrated college town is what you said.
Yes. Do you have a team you're rooting for in the finals? I'm afraid to even ask that question. But listen, if you know about the folks in Indiana, and the history of basketball there, right? I know Oklahoma City, it's the entire, you know, there's nothing else going on. But I would love to see the Indiana Pacers finally win an NBA title for those folks. Those are great fans. And finally, what is a can't-do-it fashion move that you live by? The Georgia situation with those jerseys, that made me think of it. Like, if I were to walk out in any form of public forum or even at home in white socks, no matter how short, and sandals by the pool, my daughters would be like, the level of embarrassed, the dad, I mean, they are very particular to not look like, you know, the dad look that just
I would say, you know, brown belt with black shoes. Can't do it.
So you're very serious about that?
Yes.
Okay. You got Bo, you back?
Oh, no, 100%.
Yeah.
That and that's been a rule for years, and the violators of this rule just
bother you.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah.
Absolutely underrated college town. Do you have a team you're actually rooting for in the finals? And what is a can't-do-it fashion move that you actually live by? 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. This hour is brought to you by, who's our folks, Mr. Bo?
Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company.
The pressure washing that you need to make sure. My wife is getting us ready for pool season. Like, she's buying pillows, throw pillows.
Oh, yeah,
and getting
she's doing
done
it.
And I'm like, do we have more friends than we think? Because I don't know who's coming over. We got our daughter is in, you know, Barcelona. Our kid's going to camp.
Barcelona.
Who are we inviting over?
Ed Karsten chimes in, Madison, Wisconsin. Ed, come on,
it's
man.
Not underrated.
Not underrated, bro.
Very highly rated. Just like Athens is very highly rated.
Right.
All right, we ready to do this?
Let's do it.
All right, let's have some fun today on our Monday edition of Three Strikes. Why am I delaying? Get to your calls, Steak. Who's up first, my friend?
Let's go out to John in Peachtree City.
Hey, Johnny, thanks for calling. Hey, we got open lines, by the way. I want everything filled. We got about 2 more minutes to go here. Hey, John, give me an absolutely underrated college town.
University of West Georgia in Carrollton. It's a nice school. The third largest school in the state of Georgia. It's got a great sports program, and all three of my children went there.
That's awesome.
Carrollton, GA.
Do you have a team you're rooting for in the NBA Finals?
The Indiana Pacers, the same reason why you stated just a minute ago. It's a great basketball town, great fans, a beautiful city.
What is a bad fashion faux pas that you live by?
Walking around with the front of your shirt tucked in and the back of your shirt tucked out. Either untuck or tuck.
Love it.
Bo loves that, too. This is a good question. We should run a whole 2 hours with it. Hey, Micah in the car. Micah, do you have an absolutely underrated college town?
I do, man. Fayetteville, Arkansas. My wife is a volleyball coach there. We just moved there from Atlanta last year, and the Hogs are something else.
That's great. The Walton family supports that in a big way.
How big is Arkansas basketball now with Calipari there?
It is big. It is big. That is for sure.
Do you have
one of the perks is the tickets, so I love it.
Do you have a team you're rooting for in the finals?
I'm going to go for the Thunder just since they're a state over.
And what is a bad fashion move that you live by?
I got to go the black shoes with a brown belt or vice versa, just like Drew said.
Yep.
Okay.
Good call.
Yeah, I'd like to take more, but we got to go to break.
Underrated college towns could be a serious segment.
So maybe play with some of these, right?
Yeah. My buddy lived in Little Rock for a couple of years, and he loved Little Rock. I mean, I don't know what university's in Little Rock, but I don't know if it's a college town.
University of Arkansas, Little Rock. That's who LSU plays tonight.
There you go. Yeah.
My buddy went to East Carolina.
Yeah, Wilmington.
A lot of folks love East Carolina, right?
Isn't that Wilmington or Greenville?
I don't know where
something
they are,
like that.
But their baseball team was right in the hunt there. I don't know. Anyway.
Greenville.
Okay. Have a great week.
You too, man.
Enjoy the tourney. You'll tell us about when you come back.
See you on Monday.
The Queen is back tomorrow, I believe. Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out. Oprah. George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.